Welcome to Rural Health Pulse. I'm Jim Kinnear, Chief Human Resources Officer at the Indiana Regional Medical Center. In this series, we focus on ideas and stories impacting the health of our region and explore the programs and initiatives designed to improve healthcare and wellness. In our first episode, we focused on how wastewater surveillance and mathematical techniques were used to track the extent of COVID in the region, and the role it still plays in identifying disease levels in the community. In the early days of the COVID pandemic, the ability to test individuals for the infection was severely limited, delaying patient diagnosis and care, and creating major challenges for the healthcare system. The time for test results stretched to 2 weeks, too long to obtain critical diagnosis and start treatment regimes. In this episode, we examine how a partnership between the Indiana Regional Medical Center and Indiana University of Pennsylvania tackled this challenge, provided critical COVID testing services during the early days of the pandemic, and helped create a more efficient COVID testing process. Our guests for this episode are Professor Barathon, Chair of IUP's Biology Department, and Ms. Jackie Sanzik, Director of Laboratory Medicine and Respiratory Services at IRMC. To begin, Professor Barathon, would you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, thank you. My name is Barathon. I'm the chair of the biology department at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. I'm a molecular virologist by training. All my PhD and postdoctoral work had been related to RNA viruses, and COVID-19 is an RNA virus. I had all the capability and capacity to do this type of work, and most of the instrumentations and the technology that I had for RT-PCR testing came to me from Department of Defense.
Thank you, Dr. Barathon. Ms. Sanzik, would you like to introduce yourself as well?
Hi, Jim. Thank you for having me. My name is Jackie Sanzig. I am the Director of Laboratory Medicine and Respiratory Services at Indiana Regional Medical Center.
Thanks for being here, both of you. Jackie, could you take us back to a time at the beginning of the COVID pandemic and share with us some of the challenges you were experiencing with COVID testing?
So early on in the pandemic, we had supply chain issues. We ran out of media. We ran out of swabs, not just for COVID testing, because we really didn't even have COVID testing at that point in time. We ran out of flu swabs because we were going to try to rule out COVID by testing for flu. So we also tried to send to reference lab tests because, as I stated, we didn't have testing in-house at that time. And the reference lab testing, such as Quest, LabCorp, Mayo Clinics, the big three reference lab, some of them didn't even have test develops of their own. So we early on sent it to Quest, and after a while, within the first week, their turnaround times ended up being more than 10 days, which for patient care is not good. It's horrible. By the first 3 days, you really need to have a diagnosis to take care of somebody. So we had all these challenges that we were trying to address, supply chain issue, reference lab testing, and we really had nowhere to turn. And that's where Dr. Barathon comes into play.
Thanks for sharing that, some of the challenges you were facing there with the shortages and the delays with testing. So Dr. Barathon, tell us, how did you enter the picture at this time?
It's a great question because I've been trying my best to answer this question myself. It so happened that in 2010, 2011, a student of mine graduated from the biology biochemistry program, and he went for his PhD to Caltech. Ever since I wrote his letter of recommendation, I've been receiving newsletters from Caltech. And one of the headlines during the early pandemic was that Caltech was completely transforming all its lab facilities for COVID testing. I forwarded this information to IUP president, and the next thing I know is within 24 to 48 hours, a team of physicians from IRMC and, of course, Jackie was also there in that initial visit to my lab, and we went from there.
So as you looked at this opportunity to help IRMC with testing for COVID, what were some of the first things that you had to address?
The lab facility itself and having Class 2B hoods under negative pressure was very critical, and there should not be much traffic when the testing is done. So one of the key things that IRMC and IUP administration was looking at was if there was a possibility for them to move the RT-PCR DNA thermal cycler to IRMC that had a contained facility to do the type of testing that we had to do for COVID.
Thank you, Dr. Barathon. So, Jackie, as this process started to kind of take off and the idea of moving equipment over and setting up testing in the IRMC lab, what was that like for you?
Well, first, we had to think about the safety of the employees. You know, we had to ensure that the lab, that we have a biosafety level 2 laboratory, and we had to make sure that that was sealed off properly. We had to ensure that everything was in place for the safety of those that were performing the tests and those in the room outside of that. Additionally, we had to think of federal guidelines. We had to make sure that we were CLIA approved. We had to ensure that the FDA would approve what we were doing. I had to call the state, Pennsylvania State, to ensure that had we add on this test, what we needed to do to be accredited and fulfill our obligations to the Department of Health. And it was a lot of behind the scenes making sure that everything we do were up to federal guidelines, our accreditation, and Department of Health guidelines.
So it's a great idea and a concept, but a lot of details had to be worked out as part of that process.
Absolutely.
Dr. Barathon, from your perspective, what was the biggest challenge of making what you were able to provide in terms of testing work in that healthcare environment that's so heavily regulated?
As Jackie mentioned, some of the initial challenges for starting a testing like the SARS-CoV-2 COVID-19 was that the individuals involved in testing and the individuals in and around that lab have to be protected, have to be safe, and should not be exposed to the aerosolized COVID-19 that is coming for testing purposes. So the initial challenge, as Jackie mentioned, was for us to fulfill all the requirements of the federal regulations and the CLIA regulations. It required that we go through an emergency use authorization approval process by the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration. So the initial part of the testing process that started around April 23rd of 2020, it was critical for us to make sure our DNA thermal cycler, which included the EPEX Eppendorf system, had all the specificity, sensitivity, and the ability to detect COVID-19. As a result, my team of individuals who were going to work in the lab, which included my daughters, I have to tell this, Dr. Tanvi Barathon and Tashi Barathon, who had used this instrument and they were familiar with it, and both of them had graduated from IUP, so it became easy for me, and they were employees of IRMC, so it became logistically very easy for us to transport the instrument and start testing in the appropriated Class 2B facility that IRMC and Jackie had designed specifically for this type of testing. The other big challenge that was there initially was to make sure the instrument was in its 100% efficiency for testing COVID. And the second important thing was we had to do a pilot testing of some of the swabs that IRMC had previously got positives and negatives, and we had to make sure all those swabs tested positive for us and tested negative. As a result, we could pilot those and eventually use for actual COVID testing in the population of individuals who are going to come to IRMC.
What an incredible story about the effort, and not only yourself, but your daughters being engaged and helping to make this testing a reality and to support it at IRMC. Jackie, what did that mean to IRMC to have this occurring and to have this resource coming into the organization?
This was so helpful to IRMC. This improved patient care tremendously. We weren't waiting days, 10 days or more, for tests to come back. We were able to treat patients faster, get a diagnosis sooner. It helped. We were able to tell the rest of the community how much the positivity in our community was, so that this helped the community as well. We were able to tell the community that, you know, this is how much it's being spread. This is why you should mask. We were trying to contain the virus rather than so that the community could tell that it was being spread. Really, this was a game changer for IRMC that we were able to help the patients with Dr. Barathon's help.
And during this time period, were other hospitals still struggling with those supply chain and test turnaround times?
Yes, all hospitals in the area had supply chain issues. We weren't the only one. Many of them had to just rely on the reference labs, and the turnaround times were horrendous. We were lucky to be able to continue the turnaround times, and the more we did, the more efficient we became.
And is it safe to assume that quicker turnaround time with getting results and being able to provide interventions made a measurable difference in terms of outcomes and patient care at IRMC?
Absolutely. You know, when you can diagnose a patient within hours rather than 10 days when it really doesn't matter, by that time they're almost out of quarantine, you know, that makes a difference on patient care and the exposure to their family members and how they treat them. So it was a good thing.
Dr. Barathon, when you were talking earlier about the testing and your efforts and working there with your daughters, I could definitely sense the pride and the enthusiasm, but would just like to hear in your own words, what did it mean for you to be able to be in IRMC providing this test and helping the community in this way?
It goes back to, as I said, unfortunately, to September 11th, when we started a program at IUP, and I was one of the co-PIs, along with my wife, Dr. Seema Barathon, developing a program for testing biological agents. At that time, when we were doing all the tests for the first responders, civil support team, and the members of the National Guard Bureau, most of the testing and experiments were done with not infectious biological material because we did not have the capacity or capability to use them under BSL-2 facility at that time. So when COVID-19 came in, it was a seamless transfer for me and for my family and for my daughters to participate in this process, because September 11th program, we were probably the first few institutions in the country who had developed a program for science for disaster response. And so most of the equipments that were bought during that period became very useful at this time, and most of the testing, most of the technology that we developed during that time was readily available for us to take it to IRMC and do the testing to the community. I take this very dearly because this was my job here at IUP, and my family, my kids have grown up here. So it was a very important for us to give back to the community, and this was the best way for me to help the hospital, help the community, and the university to put ourselves in the forefront in a rural setup for testing purposes. Let me also put this in the context of what Jackie was talking about. Sending materials to a reference lab and supply chain issues, they really prolonged the time for testing purposes and eventually for the physicians to act on the their patients. Most of the protocols that were available for testing during that time, we had to depend upon materials for testing purposes from Canada, which is a biobasic company. And when we started the initial testing, it took us nearly half a day, 6 to 8 hours of three individuals, labor-intensive process to test 50 to 60 samples. That really did not put the hospital in a position to do to come with an outcome for patient care. So with my own background and my research with viral RNAs, we completely got rid of the various stages of 2.5-3 hours of testing processes, and we reapplied for emergency use authorization in less than 35 days, and that allowed us to increase the capacity from 35 samples to 150 to 175 samples per day. So that is one of the key things that I feel is significant, because it reduced the time, it reduced the cost for the hospital. And thirdly, all of us were working at a time when there was no vaccine. So all of us were getting exposed to the virus every time we were handling the swab. So by reducing the labor-intensive extraction of the RNA, we reduced the exposure time. And that protocol has now been published in an International Journal of Rural Health Medicine. And several countries around the world can use this technology for reduced cost of RNA extraction from COVID-19.
Thank you for sharing that, Dr. Barathon. So not just a unique partnership here, but process innovations through this process to help enhance the safety of the process for those people that are involved, and actually led to being a model for not just across the country, but globally as well.
Exactly. You said it rightly. That is the way to go. And COVID-19 is not a problem it's not endemic, it's a pandemic. So any protocol that was developed had to be applied worldwide. And I think this was one of the ways by which we could, IUP and IRMC has contributed to the pandemic of the 20th century or 21st century.
So we hope that COVID and the pandemic is something that we will continue to see a downward trend, but we know there's always new public health challenges out there. So from your perspective, Jackie, what would you say is a lesson learned from this experience that could be carried over to future challenges that we might face?
I would say that you can't always say no, because I have to say my initial thought when presented with working with Dr. Barathon, and it wasn't against him, it was, oh, I don't know if the guidelines with CLIA or CAP or FDA would allow this. But I opened my mind and I thought, let's think out the box. Let's think how we can work together and make this work. And Dr. Barathon and I worked very well together. We bounced ideas off of each other on how we would make this work with the BSL-2 lab. And we were able to make it work, and we made a difference by opening our mind and allowing other ideas and options to come in. And so that would be my best takeaway is, you know, try to think outside the box and look to new ways on how to come to an answer to a difficult situation.
Thank you, Jackie. Dr. Barathon, any thoughts you have in terms of lessons learned?
Oh, yes. Probably the collaboration between IUP and IRMC is one of its kind in the world, I will say. I can safely say this because if you take Pennsylvania, if you took University of Pittsburgh, you took Penn State, you took any testing that took place in Philadelphia, all the institutions have medical schools there. IUP does not have a medical school. IUP does not have much of the R&D capabilities that these institutions have. I think IUP-IRMC collaboration has laid the foundation for thinking outside the box, and that if you have the scientists, the physicians, and administrators who can work collaboratively, I think it's a win-win situation for the institutions concerned, for the community. And I say this very proudly because IRMC administration, Jackie was phenomenal to work with, and all the individuals involved at IRMC became very friendly with our group, and it was very important for us to make that type, to have that type of relationship, because this type of research, as Jackie mentioned, is outside the box. It is transformative, and it can be applied in any type of situation that is directly affecting rural health.
Well, I think that's a great note to end on for this episode. I just want to take a moment to thank both of you again for joining and really sharing the wonderful story of this successful collaboration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and I'm looking forward to continuing this type of collaborative efforts.
Rural Health Pulse is a collaborative effort of the Indiana Regional Medical Center, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and the Indiana community. It is produced by Chris Korn from IUP's Division of University Advancement and recorded by IUP Communications Media. I'm Jim Kinnear. Thank you for listening, and be sure to watch for future episodes of Rural Health Pulse.